The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, everybody? Another Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. I know you thought this was the chase scene in The Bourne Identity, and suddenly Matt Damon was going to pop out. Well, we got to. That's not what's going to happen here. But what a great song and a great movie. We'll get to that in just a second. We got a fantastic show for you. We got news and notes to get to. But first, how can you follow me? Very easily on Twitter at Al Gattulo, Instagram at Gattulo GATTULLO, Facebook.com/AGCraftBeerCast via email at albertg@nycradio.com. We're also on iTunes as well. Just do a search for AG Craft Beer Cast. You'll find the shows on that platform, and Alexa Ready as well, radio.com, iHeartRadio, and the Hopped Up Network. If you head over to the Hopped Up Network on Monday mornings just before 6 a.m., you will get the podcast version of this show. So Paul Oakenfold, right? Is it Oakenfold? Yeah, Oakenfold. Paul Oakenfold. Ready, Steady, Go. That's the chase scene music from The Bourne Identity with Matt Damon. What a great chase scene. He's in an old beat-up Mini and, you know, takes the police through this crazy chase in Paris. And it's a really cool scene. It's a great movie. Matt Damon, I think, was very underrated in those movies, especially that first one. That first one kind of snuck up on you. You know, it was based on the Robert Ludlum book that it was out in the 70s or whatever it was, you know. And they finally adapted it and made a movie out of it. And it's just a great, great, tightly action-packed movie with a really good story. You know, the other movies, the sequels were decent. They weren't fantastic, but they were good. And then he comes back in Jason Bourne, which I thought was really good. You know, years later, and they, you know, flush him out again, et cetera, et cetera. Good stuff. Real good stuff. I really enjoyed that a lot. Now, coming up in 20 minutes, Jason Stein, he's the brewer owner of Timber Ales, will join me. This guy is making fantastic beer that is being brewed, actually, by a Connecticut brewer, but he's based in New York. Does that make sense? Well, it will in about 20 minutes from now. I've had a number of his beers over the last, I'd say, month and a half, and every one of them is fantastic. His stouts are unreal. His IPAs are spot on. And this is a guy who is essentially was a home brewer and now has this brewery, but really he's a gypsy brewer. It's a really cool story, and you definitely have to check it out coming up in about 20 minutes from now. But let's dive into news and notes. We've got a lot to get to here in this first segment. It is crazy. So I don't know if you saw on Twitter and on my Craft Beer Cast page, and I posted in a couple of different places. So on September 11th, which is a horrific day for the country, during a Dine Out to Remember fundraiser, the State Liquor Authority of New York, an inspector, checked up on Joyce's Tavern. Apparently, the Eltingville Eatery lost its license to sell booze. Now, this is such a crazy story. So Councilman Joe Borelli had a book signing there at Joyce's Tavern about his new book about revolutionary Staten Island, and about how the Revolutionary War affected Staten Island, right? So he has this signing outdoors in the patio. Councilman Borelli, no fan of the mayor of the city of New York and no fan of the governor, and has tweeted lots of different things about them. Joyce's Tavern has a sign in front of their restaurant that says Cuomo is killing our business because people want restaurants to open sooner. And I get it from the science standpoint and all the other stuff or whatever. But now they're allowing restaurants to reopen at the end of this month in New York, but at 25% capacity. And the argument is, well, the rest of the state is open at 50%. Why can't we open at 50%? We need to make money. Whatever. I'll let people, you know, hash that out, you know, in a different forum, right? Not here. So Joyce's Tavern hosts Councilman Borelli. The next night on September 11th, they're holding a fundraiser. Dine out to remember that a number of restaurants are going to take a proceeds of their money that they make that night, which, by the way, they're not making a lot of money to begin with. They're barely keeping the lights on and paying their employees, if that. And they're going to donate it to Tunnel to Towers, a wonderful organization by Frank Sillar that has done amazing things for people for years now. Amazing, right? They whacked Joyce's Tavern with a $25,000 fine because the state liquor inspector said he noted 10 seated patrons who appeared to be consuming beverages. They weren't. They may have been having water because they had been standing for hours and needed to get off their feet. Another person referred to as a patron sat at a separate table also appeared to be consuming food and wine. I've heard from a number of people that didn't happen. The owner of Joyce's, Joe O'Toole, supposedly confirmed to the inspector that the tent top had just finished eating. In the recording of the hearing, O'Toole reportedly maintained that a pregnant woman was in the party. So, illegal dining, of course, is illegal until the end of this month. But here's the thing. Joyce's Tavern has never had a mark against them since 2015. That's 5 years. It is absolutely ridiculous. Now, the owner, Joe O'Toole, said he would not comment on the details of the situation to the Staten Island Advance. Per his attorney, he did say, just want to say thank you to everyone for the thoughts, comments, support. And as always, the community has our back as we always have theirs. They started, they were back out for takeout and delivery this past Monday, but couldn't serve any booze. But it is ridiculous that this is essentially political retaliation by Governor Cuomo to send the state liquor authority there because they don't like Governor Cuomo. That's essentially what it is. That's my opinion on it. I don't have any facts of that matter, but that's my opinion. So a woman created a GoFundMe page to help them to pay their debt. Well, within hours of putting this up, they had surpassed the $25,000 limit, well on their way past $40,000 as of a couple of days ago. So, I mean, this is ridiculous. So now attorneys Lou Gelormino and Mark Fonte, who represent Joyce's Tavern as part of IROAR, which is the Independent Restaurant Owners Association Rescue, they have sued the city and the state to speed up indoor dining. And, you know, the media has been all over it, and the St. George-based lawyers told the Advance, obviously we were concerned that Joyce's might be targeted. They added in a statement, the O'Toole family operates their restaurant in a socially responsible manner, has followed every one of governor's executive orders. We intend to vigorously defend their restaurant and, more importantly, their reputation. We will be speaking to the state liquor authority and hope to resolve this matter quickly. I am just beyond upset that something like this could happen. And to Congressman Max Rose's credit, he has tweeted out to the governor and others saying that this needs to be reversed immediately. They're holding a fundraiser to Tunnel to Towers. You come in on September 11th on a day that has affected New Yorkers so profoundly. Councilman Joe Borelli livid as well when after, you know, both the governor and the state liquor authority. And as he told the Advance, this is a disgusting abuse of power by a sycophant governor hell-bent on overcompensating for sending COVID patients to nursing homes. Our neighborhood bar, the place that constantly has charity events, sponsors our Little League teams, gives back in so many ways as the latest victim. When will common sense return? It is ridiculous. And the other thing is, Joyce's Tavern was never visited once by the state liquor authority during this pandemic. But suddenly, after Councilman Borelli has a book signing and the restaurant is holding an event for September 11th, the guy happens to conveniently show up. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but something doesn't sound right here. All right. Now, let's move on. I'm as PO'd as I am at that. Let's move on to this. So there was a bill that went through the New Jersey legislature that would have allowed an existing loan program to help brewers and distillers that was vetoed by Governor Murphy. It passed both houses unanimously. Now, apparently the bill was to expand this existing loan program administered by the New Jersey Economic Development Authority to include loans to small producers of alcoholic beverages for qualified operating expenses during a pandemic. It basically allowed them, vineyards, wineries, brewers as well, to get a loan here, and these loans maybe would have been issued at an interest rate equal to the prime rate or up to 3 percentage points above the prime rate to help these businesses out. The governor vetoed this bill this last Monday. No explanation given. I just wonder why it was when it passed both houses unanimously and the governor decided to veto it. Is there not enough money in the fund to fund these people? I can't imagine that these brewers would be asking a lot of money. And also, it was capped at 10 employees. Now, you'd say 10 employees, that's not a lot. There are a few breweries that employ more than 10 people in the state, but many of them employ far less than 10. So I'm a little puzzled as to why the governor did this. Hopefully we'll find out more, and when we do, we'll get it to you. Finally, Motorhead has a beer. Actually, it was a beer that was done with a craft brewery, Cameron's, back in 2015. Road Crew IPA, which is now being made. I'm trying to see here who is making this. Let's see. Ale Asylum, that's it. Ale Asylum is making this beer for Motorhead. Phil Campbell, the guitarist for Motorhead, says, "I'm delighted that the U.S. now gets to have Road Crew in their homes regularly and that our American-based fans can savor this world-class rock and roll beer." It is, they don't give you the details on what the beer is. It's a pale ale, if I'm not mistaken. It's an American IPA. So this is really cool. So you got a Motorhead beer that'll be out, and hopefully... We'll have to track down the brewery and see if we can get a couple of cans of that to try. So, big fan of Motorhead. I love Motorhead. And got to see Lemmy and Motorhead about a month before he passed, a couple of years ago, with my neighbor. And glad I got the opportunity to see him. He was not well, but boy, he could still bang out that bass and could sing. So that was pretty exciting. And when we come back after a short break, we got more news and notes from around the beer world and lots more to come, including Suds and Duds at the end of the hour and some good beers that I've had over the last week and a half or so. This is the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Welcome back to the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. You can follow me very easily on Twitter at Al Gattulo, Instagram at Gattulo, GATTULLO, Facebook.com/AGCraftBeerCast, via email at AlbertG@NYCRadio.com. Don't forget, iTunes. You can do a search for AG Craft Beer Cast. You can find all the shows on those two platforms. Alexa Ready as well. We're also on Radio.com, iHeartRadio, and of course the Hopped Up Network. If you head over there Monday mornings before 6 a.m., and I'm going to try and get the shows up sooner after they finish on Sunday nights. This way makes it easier for you to listen to right after the show if you can't listen live. But you can always head over to the HoppedUpNetwork.com, and you can listen to my show and a plethora of other great shows on the Hopped Up Network, all talking about beer and music and all kinds of fun. And speaking of music, Judas Priest's Free Will Burning, friend of mine that I used to work with over at another radio station, it's so funny, Laura Calla, posted something earlier this week. I had totally forgotten because we can't go to concerts. Everything's been canceled or postponed. This past week, I was supposed to see Judas Priest at Prudential Center, their 50th anniversary tour. You know, they've been performing for 50 years. So I had totally forgotten about it. And she had posted something about it, that they were supposed to be there and they were going to tailgate with me, you know, hang out with me in pregame. And they were listening to a bunch of Priest albums, one of them happening to be Defenders of the Faith. So sadly, Judas Priest will probably be out next year. I know they rescheduled a bunch of concerts. They canceled the one that we were supposed to go to, and hopefully they will be back for a North American tour next year. Obviously, it'll be their 51st year, but, you know, maybe we won't count it, just like I won't count my 50th birthday this year, let's put it that way. Coming up in 10 minutes, Jason Stein, he's the brewer owner of Timber Ales, will join me. This guy is killing it with his beer. Started out as a home brewer, and now he's making his beer professionally for sale, but he's doing it as a gypsy brewer. He's not opening his own brewery, so we'll talk to him about that, how he got started, why he decided to go this route instead of trying to open a brewery himself. Lots of other great things. We'll talk to him in just under 10 minutes from now. So outdoor dining is big in New York City, and a lot of lawmakers think that it should continue indefinitely in the city. It is supposed to shut down at the end of October. Mayor de Blasio had said, you know, October 31st, we're going to end outdoor dining. But a group of Manhattan Democrats say that outdoor dining has served as a lifeline to many small restaurants and has been essential for their survival. Councilman Mark Levine Congressman Adriano Espaillat wrote to Mayor de Blasio on Monday, and they think that it should continue indefinitely. In the statement, they said allowing restaurants to safely continue exterior dining with the use of heat lamps and other equipment to provide a warm, ventilated environment will provide restaurants the ability to earn vital additional revenue. Now, I don't know how much revenue they're getting. Some restaurants are saying it's barely keeping the lights on, but something is better than nothing. Manhattan Borough President Gil Brewer, Assembly members Carmen De La Rosa and Al Taylor, State Senators Brian Benjamin and Robert Jackson also signed the letter to the mayor. They wrote, this will also prevent restaurants who have paid tens of thousands of dollars for barriers, platforms, and safety-related equipment from having to demolish and find storage for these items until the following year. Since June, the city has allowed restaurants to serve customers on sidewalks and streets as part of a phase two of the Big Apple's reopening. Of course, the indoor dining will be opening on September 30th, but you're limited to 25% capacity. You know, even de Blasio said, look, it should be permanent. We need to figure out a way to do it. And he said it's been a great victory for New York City and we should continue it going forward. So everyone's on board here. Let's get some legislation in place that makes it permanent, that allows these businesses to continue outdoor dining. Now, I get it. You want to sit outside in 30-degree weather and eat? Some people do, some people don't. Maybe if it's 45 degrees, you will if there's a heat lamp and you feel like you're well covered. I know there's a bunch of people who are going to say, I'm not going to do it. I'll get takeout or whatever. I understand that. But give people the option. You don't feel safe going indoors to a restaurant and you still want to have that, you know, date night experience and be outside, maybe you do that. I don't know. I think it's a good idea. I think they should continue it and keep it as a permanent part of New York City. That's just my two cents. Now, a big deal that happened earlier this week, Yuengling and Molson Coors have partnered up. Now, Yuengling is still independently owned. It is the Yuengling is the oldest brewery in the United States. They've been brewing beer for 191 years. So they have launched a long-term brewing partnership, and this is so that Yuengling can be sold in more places around the country. This partnership will allow the distribution of Yuengling beers to expand further west for the first time in its history, because Yuengling is mostly an East Coast beer. The joint venture between Yuengling and Molson Coors will oversee any new market expansion beyond the 191-year-old brewer's existing 22-state footprint, plus any future New England expansion. The partnership expected to begin in the second half of next year. It'll be governed by a board of directors consisting evenly of Yuengling and Molson Coors family members and executives. Again, as I said, Yuengling and Son remains a family-owned business. The existing company will operate separately from the joint venture with Molson Coors. So they are not selling their company. They're basically partnering up and using Molson Coors facilities elsewhere in the country to make Yuengling beer to get it to people further west as quickly as possible. That's essentially what I get out of this deal here. They'll come up with different, they'll brew Yuengling products. And again, like I said, they'll expand their geographic footprint beyond their 22-state capacity. So kudos to Yuengling. That's great. I know there's a lot of people on the West Coast who've never had a Yuengling. It's a good beer. It's not a great beer, but it's one of those, you know, if you see it on tap somewhere and there's no other options for me, I would have a Yuengling. That's how good it is. And I know a number of my friends drink Yuengling that don't drink craft beer, quote unquote craft beer. So good for them and good for Yuengling and Molson Coors. That's really good news and should get that beer out to other places where you'll be able to experience starting the second half of next year. Our good friends from Heavy Seas have now come out with a low-calorie IPA. This is another one of these rage beers that everybody seems to be jumping on now because people are trying to drink less calories. And so the next release from their 15-barrel brew house, City Sipper Low-Cal IPA. It is available in four packs of 16-ounce cans. It'll be a curbside can release starting September 25th through the 27th. It is a 4% ABV with 95 calories. I'll be interested to try it to see how it tastes. They say here that it is just the right amount of fresh key lime juice to create a hazy aromatic crusher, low alcohol, low calories, and low carbs. So they used, malted wheat, Sabro Citra, and Simcoe Cryo Lupulin powder hops. Interesting. And the label looks great. Of course, it's being designed by local Baltimore artist Chris Gippel of Night Shift Creative. He has designed all Heavy Seas 24th anniversary. He designed the 24th anniversary beer label this past December, and all the taproom exclusive beer labels will be designed by Chris. this year. So kudos to Heavy Seas. Hopefully you can get a chance to get a can or two of that, because I'd really like to try that low-calorie IPA. And then our good friends from Founders, this is cool, Big Luscious is back. Now, this is a beer that was a part of the brewery's Backstage series back in 2014. They are releasing it now. 6 years later, they decided to release this beer again. It is raspberries and chocolate, dark chocolate, a big yet balanced beer. I am very interested in trying this one. And as Brewmaster Jeremy Kosmicki says in the press release, since low-cal beers and seltzers are all the rage right now, I thought it would be a good time to bring back a beer that drinks like a dessert. You know, to zag while everyone else is zigging. The chocolate is rich and sweet. The raspberries are tart and bright, while a blend of wheat malt, chocolate malt, and roasted barley provide a perfect velvety malt backbone. It is just under 8% ABV. It'll be available in 4 packs of 12-ounce bottles and on draft across the brewery's 50-state distribution network beginning in October. It'll be available in the Founders Tap Room September 30th with a price tag of $10 a six-pack. That's not bad, but that is only in the tap room at $10 a six-pack. Outside of the tap rooms, pricing will vary on market. But that's great. I can't wait. I'm eagerly looking forward to getting a couple of bottles of this, sharing one of them with my neighbor Greg, because he is a big Founders fan, as am I. And I am looking forward to a nice chocolate raspberry type stout. You know, we've had a little bit of fall weather here over the last couple of days in New York City. The weekend has been, you know, kind of cool. So it's the perfect time to have that nice coffee roasted stout. That's for me, that's a big deal. So that'll be really cool. And just want to make mention again, in our last segment, we talked about Joyce's Tavern and how the State Liquor Authority came down hard on them. Of course, the governor has come out and said, nah, we're not targeting them. The State Liquor Authority says they're not targeting them. I don't buy that. Kudos to everyone who has donated so far to this GoFundMe page. It is really important that we support as many small businesses as you can, right? This is a business that has never had a violation, and it's a shame that somewhere politically, and I think the governor did this, but somewhere politically, you have people retaliating simply because of their freedom of expression, that they don't like the governor, and they feel that the governor is killing their business, and they decided, the state decided to retaliate against them. That is absolutely positively wrong, because who notified the State Liquor Authority? Come on. You're telling me all of a sudden this place that had never been on their radar, and suddenly they get picked, you know, they get picked on September 11th? I don't know. Something doesn't smell right there. Anyway, when we come back after a short break, Jason Stein, the brewer owner of Timber Ales, will join me. This is the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Welcome back to the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Yeah, it's the concert I should have been at this week. Unfortunately, all concerts canceled. Judas Priest and their 50th anniversary tour. Rob Halford, the lead singer of Judas Priest, has a biography coming out. First time he's ever written a biography. That's coming out next week, which I must pick up a copy of, because guy is was my idol listening to heavy metal way back in the day, and I've talked about it on the show plenty of times before. You know, music, beer, all of these things just seem to go together. And my next guest, he is the owner and brewer who is brewing as a gypsy brewer. He's making killer stouts, IPAs, barley wines in conjunction with 12% Brewing. I first got introduced to them at my local joint in Clark, New Jersey, Paragon Tap and Table. The general manager had said, you got to try this stout. Pours me one of the stouts, you know, in a can, and I was just absolutely blown away. It took me an hour to drink it, and it was the best hour that I've had in quite some time. It was delicious. We're going to get into all of it in just a moment. You can follow them on Facebook and also Instagram at Timber_Ales. Let me welcome to the show the brewer owner, Jason Stein. Jason, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. Jason, I got to tell you, first off, I've had a number of your beers over the last, I would say, 30 to 45 days, and every one of them, and most of them were the stouts, But then I had your IPA, the People Pleaser, or is it Power to the People? I want to make sure I get this right. People Power. That's right. People Power, the one with the Statue of Liberty on it. It's a fantastic IPA. I love what you do. And you started as a home brewer. So what made you decide to take that next step forward?
I started as a home brewer. Before that, I was actually a journalist for a few different magazines, just doing kind of beer interviews. Mm-hmm. And it kind of got to a point where I was talking to so many brewers that were making these incredible beers that I wanted to kind of pick their brain on how they brewed some of these beers. So I kind of leveraged that relationship with some of these brewers to kind of get more into home brewing and build that foundation as a home brewer. And eventually, Alex Blank, who's one of the founders at 12% Beer Project in New Haven, mm-hmm. Reached out to me and was like, what are your thoughts on scaling up your homebrew project? So that was probably last November, and then first beer was in December, a barley wine, and kind of gone from there. I think we're at the 17th beer will be brewed next week. So
wow,
been quite a ride, considering this is a side project for me. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's what's interesting about it, is that most people, they get that bug of homebrewing, they start to upscale what they're doing, and you know, they have friends and family, and everybody's telling them you should open a brewery, and then they eventually decide, okay, I'm going to do it, and you go through the business steps of what does it take, how much money do I need, do I have friends who are going to lend me money, can I get a loan, what am I doing? Some people are fortunate that they have, you know, capital, you know, to sell, to be able to open up a brewery. Others don't. But you had a friend who said, hey, why not come with us and brew the beer, sort of, you know, a gypsy kind of brew operation. So that's kind of unique in a way that, you know, you have these guys in Connecticut at 12% Brewing Project that say, hey, you can use our tanks. We love what you do. Let's help you out here. So it's really a partnership between the two of you guys.
Yep. I think it's a little bit different than normal contracting, where I feel like for a normal contracting, you would normally rent the space out,
right?
Kind of front the money, bring everything there, and you'd be in charge of selling it yourself.
Right.
I view kind of what 12% does more as a partnership, mm-hmm. whereas I talk to them, this is what I'm thinking beers, this is what I think about brewing, get your thoughts. Obviously, at the end of the day, it's my decision on what I brew, but I always pick their mind on what they think in terms of it, since they have the background on selling and marketing. So right. Kind of work like them as a partnership, and so far it's been great.
Well, let me tell you something. For me, I'm glad, because I'm enjoying almost everything that I've gotten from you. So that's that I've been buying. So that's fantastic. We're talking with Jason Stein, the owner and brewer from Timberrails. He's brewing. I can't even call it a gypsy brewer, within a partnership, making killer stouts, IPAs, barley wines in conjunction with 12% Brewing Project in Connecticut. You can follow them on Facebook, also Instagram at Timber_Ales. We're here on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. So when you were brewing at your parents' house all those years ago, because I saw the story in Forbes, I saw a couple of different things, and you were mm-hmm. schlepping your stuff out to Long Island to brew at your parents' house, what was the biggest problem that you faced in producing your beer at your parents' house?
So I originally started brewing it in my apartment. My right. wife, once we bought an apartment, she was like, "This is not happening anymore. Right. You can't. It's not a rental. You're not ruining the kitchen."
Right.
So moving things out there, it took a lot to kind of scale up. I had to change the entire brew system when I went out there. It's also the fact that I would have beer out there that would ferment. I had like a freezer chest in my childhood bedroom that would ferment. I think the issue was more of not always being there to kind of check on it on a daily process. I had to kind of rely on my dad to be like, hey, can you open up the lid of the freezer chest? What's going on in terms of fermentation? Send me a photo. And kind of judging it for that, I think that's kind of the biggest deal. Before that, I kind of had everything fermenting in the apartment. I kind of could check on a daily basis.
Okay.
That's probably the hardest part for me.
And why the first beer that you started brewing was a barley wine? Usually when people are starting out, and I've never homebrewed, but I know a number of people who have, usually when you start out homebrewing, it's usually a lager, a pilsner, something, you know, a barley wine is a complex beer to brew right out of the box, right?
I knew when I talked to Alex and we discussed what Timberrails was going to be there and what it was going to kind of bring, was this idea of a barrel program. That's kind of the first focus for Timberrails, is we are focusing on putting our stouts and barley wines into barrels. What you see now in cans are what is going into barrels, but we will adjunct it appropriately to kind of get what we would want from a fresh beer. So what you're tasting now is like the fresh base with a specific adjunct in a can, but that original base is now in a barrel. So we want to really kick off that barrel project with a big beer. So it was whether we do a stout or a barley wine, and that barley wine was brewed in collaboration with two individuals, Horace Age Ales, which is out of California, mm-hmm. and Mindful Ales, which is in New Jersey yep. and Jersey City, and he's trying to kind of scale up and start his own brewery. And we had done the beer a few years ago as a homebrew project, and I kind of thought, like, kicking this off, I want to have a recreation of a beer that I did as a homebrew with two friends, and kind of I thought it'd be a good way to bring everyone together to kind of here's the brew project, here's Timber Ales. We're going to be a brewery that does both collaborations and non-collaborations, but I wanted to start off with a barley wine, which would be kind of unique, and you don't really see too many barley wines being brewed up here on the East Coast. At least you don't see even like fresh barley wines. When you normally see a barley wine, it's usually aged in some type of spirit barrel. But I kind of wanted to bring something new and unique to the table to kind of kick things off to kind of get our name out there. And I think we're talking about right now, I talked to both of those guys yesterday. We're going to kind of rebrew a new version of that this December, probably. I think it's going to be an annual thing where we will change what adjunct we put on the fresh barrels, the fresh beer. But I think what's in barrels, I tried them last week. I think people will be pretty excited when it comes out, probably in early 2021.
That's very cool. Talking with Jason Stein, he's the owner and brewer from Timber Ales. He's brewing in a partnership with 12% Brewing Project over in Connecticut. He's making these unbelievable stouts and IPAs, and of course, as we just talked about, barley wines. You can follow them on Facebook, also Instagram at Timber_Ales. We're here on the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Now, not only am I enjoying the beers, Jason, but I simply love the labels. They are eye-catching, lots of forest and lumberjack theme labels. Was that the thinking behind naming the beer Timber Ales?
Yes. So it's kind of a funny story, but yes, I was the first time I added a beer to Untappd was a homebrew beer, and it was actually called Lumberjack in Lumberjack style was the beer, and I just forgot that when you add a beer to Untappd, you kind of have to add a brewery name, and I was like, I have no idea what to name this brewery, so I was just thinking Lumberjack Timber, and let's just call it Timber Ales. Right. As kind of like a joke at the time. I just wanted to be able to have my beer on Untappd, and kind of just stuck.
Yeah.
It's kind of just a drunken upload to Untappd. I wasn't really thinking about it, and then I was like, once I kind of had things rolling, and it actually became a brewery, I was like, I guess we should just call this Timber Ales. It makes the most sense. There's no brewery called Timber Ales out there.
That's
kind of how it started. Yeah, so it's kind of started like that. The artwork was originally the artist for Treehouse Brewing. Did my artwork as a home brewer. Mm-hmm. So when I was scaling up, I had reached out to him, and he had said he was just kind of too busy and bogged down with all the projects he was doing at the moment. So kind of went on a search to try and find an artist that would capture what I was looking for, much the scenery and landscapes. I wanted the artwork to really tell a story, and for all the labels, there is a backstory that we kind of create with that. And I found this artist. His name's Sean Bodley. He's out of L.A., and he's out from Wisconsin, moved out to L.A., has a studio out there, and was kind of like, I've never created a beer label. This sounds pretty cool. Like, I'm totally down to kind of partner with you on this project. And it's so far been great. I love his work. I'm very happy that I found him, because I love all the labels he creates. I come up with these crazy ideas, and he somehow creates them to be exactly what I intend to.
I have to tell you, I mean, I see some of these labels, and I'm like, wow, I got to get this. I got to get that. In fact, I think one that's sitting in my refrigerator right now, and I haven't had the time to crack it, is Chasm of Darkness, because I just loved the kind of city landscape kind of, like the sun is setting and the moon is kind of rising. And I was like, you know what? I got to buy this just for the label alone. I have to buy it. And that's cool. That's what I love about exploring about beer. If I like a label, even if I might not necessarily like the beer, the label is cool and I want to get it. So kudos to the artist, and kudos to you. My guest has been Jason Stein. He's the owner brewer of Timber Ales. He's brewing in partnership with 12% Brewing out in Connecticut. This guy is just killing it with the stouts, the IPAs, the barley wines. This is unbelievable. I'm so looking forward to trying more of your stuff. You can follow them on Facebook and also Instagram at Timber_Ales. Jason, thanks so much for giving me a couple minutes tonight. Very much appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Anytime. Up next, it's time for Suds and Duds on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Final segment of the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. You can follow me very easily on Twitter at Al Gattulo, Instagram at Gattulo, GATTULLO, Facebook.com/AGCraftBeerCast via email at AlbertG@NYCRadio.com. And you can also find me on iTunes. Google Play is going away very soon, and not happy about that because I love Google Play Music. It has been really a boon for me for the last few years to be able to store my music on Google Play, but now it's shifting to YouTube Music, and I'm hearing a lot of complaints about the app itself on cell phones and stuff. I've used it on my tablet, and it's not that bad, but they simply don't curate the songs like the way they did in Google Play Music. It was very easy for me to find what I was looking for and then be able to click on what I wanted to play. Now YouTube Music wants to play the video instead of my catalog, which is it's a little annoying. But anyway, we're Alexa ready as well. We're on radio.com. We're also on iHeartRadio and the Hopped Up Network. All you got to do is head over to the hoppedupnetwork.com and you can listen to the podcast version of this program, usually Monday mornings before 6 a.m. So, Suds and Duds, and it's interesting. Couple of really good beers that I had over the last week or so, and very happy to indulge in them and let you know about them in just a moment. But something that I had mentioned earlier in the show, this whole thing with Joyce's Tavern and the State Liquor Authority and Governor Cuomo and to an extent Mayor de Blasio. But I don't know if I can really fault the mayor on this one because the Liquor Authority is run by the state. So it's really Cuomo's fault here as opposed to de Blasio's, as I said. So Joyce's Tavern, as you know, the story that I spoke about, was hit with a $25,000 fine, and their liquor license was suspended last week. And it was suspended, essentially, in my view, I think because Governor Cuomo, or Lord Cuomo, as some people like to call him, doesn't like people criticizing him. And so this is his way of retaliating towards businesses and individuals, right? So Joyce's Tavern had an event for Councilman Joe Borelli for his book. Outdoor patio, social distancing, went fine, right? The next day, they held an event for, for 9/11. A number of restaurants in the area got together, pooled their resources and said, look, even though we're not making money, we're going to donate a portion of our proceeds to Tunnel to Towers, right? A great organization. Frank Siller does an amazing job at Tunnel to Towers. We talked about it earlier in the program. So they do this whole thing. And lo and behold, what happens? The next day, you've got the State Liquor Authority showing up and finding these people. Now, somebody had set up a GoFundMe page for them. They shattered their goal of $25,000. They're trying to reach upwards of $40,000. And kudos to them that so many people and myself, I donated as well to help these people. Because here is a struggling small business that's just trying to survive. And it's disgraceful that, the governor and the State Liquor Authority can do what they do with no recourse, with no, this is a place, as I said earlier in the show, never had a violation, never had any issues whatsoever. And suddenly the State Liquor Authority appears and slaps them with a $25,000 fine where they're making no money whatsoever right now. They're not turning any profit. They're barely keeping the lights on. And this is what you do? This is how you retaliate? Shame on you, Governor Cuomo. Shame on you, State Liquor Authority. That's disgusting. It's disgusting. And he'll say, no, it's not him, and it's not his fault, and et cetera, et cetera. But you know what? In my opinion, I do think it's his fault. I think it's retribution. He's done this before. We've seen it, and he's doing it again, and it's a shame. But I just wanted to let everybody know, Joyce, that they far exceeded the goal that they needed to reach at $25,000. They're pushing for $40,000. I'm sure they're going to get there. And kudos to everyone who has donated. Good for you. And that makes me feel good that people can come together that quickly to put together that money. I mean, within a day or two, I think they had their goal of $25,000. That's awesome. It's amazing what sometimes social media is a good thing. The power that social media provides is a really good thing sometimes. That's cool. Let's get into the Suds and Duds. Had the canned version of Knucklehead Hall of Fame, which from Untied Brewing, which, of course, named after Governor Murphy and his comments about don't be a knucklehead during the pandemic. Such a great beer. It really, it's hazy, it's juicy, it's got all of the elements that you want for an Imperial New England style India Pale Ale. It's just a great beer. I love it. I'm thrilled to drink it. I think I still have another can or two left in the fridge, which is a good thing. Then went back to a classic, which I haven't had in a while, but my neighbor had this. I brought him a can of Knucklehead Hall of Fame. And he pulls out of his refrigerator Dogfish Head's 90-Minute Imperial IPA. And it's been a while since I've had the 90-Minute. Let me tell you something. This is a great beer. It's always good every once in a while to go back to beers that you've had before and you haven't had in a long time. Because, look, let's face it. The classic IPA is a West Coast-style, very malty type of IPA, right? That bitter bite and the maltiness to it and kind of caramelly. Obviously, a lot of people, I shouldn't say we've gone away from it, but it's not a style that brewers are making right now. They're making stuff that's approachable, easier to drink, the juice bombs, the haze, all of that stuff, right? But that's not a classic IPA. Classic IPA has that bitterness to it. You want to make that bitter beer face. That's the kind of IPA that you want to drink every once in a while. Or at least I do, because I enjoy them. So the 90-Minute is such a malt bomb of goodness. It's so good. And it's actually, when you think about it, it's actually smoother than you think. It goes down nice. It's a delicious beer. 16-ounce can, fantastic, just good stuff. And, it's always nice to revisit the classics every once in a while and go back to something that you haven't had in a while, because it reminds you of that first moment when you have a new beer and you go, oh, what is this? Honestly, I think that's the kind of thing that I love a lot in going back to those memories. Source Brewing came out with two beers last week that I picked up. One is their Farm Fest Marzen. This is a great beer, nice and toasty, smooth, low on the ABV, great color. Love the label, pumpkins and kind of fall foliage and stuff on the label. Great job with the labels and just a great job with the beer. This is a really good, easy drinking beer. Now, a beer that really surprised me, that I didn't think was going to surprise me, actually did. The collab between Stone and Modern Times called Wizards and Gargoyles. It's a hazy coffee IPA, right? I did not think I was going to like this a lot. I've had some coffee IPAs and they have not been that good. And so, it was one of these kind of trepidation. All right, let me pour it in the glass and see what happens. I'll probably take a couple sips and I probably won't like it. I really enjoyed this. The coffee is very subtle, but there. It was a delicious beer. It is hazy. And then when you drink it, you get that, IPA, all the IPA characteristics of a hazy. And then you get that little bit of coffee on the back end of it. And it's really good. I was very shocked at how much I enjoyed this. Very impressed. Stone, Modern Times, great job. Don't hate on this one. You're going to look at it and you're going to go, I don't know, it's not for me. Trust me, pick up a 4-pack, try it. I don't think you're going to be disappointed. That's just my personal opinion. Torque Wrench by Industrial Arts Brewing, fantastic beer. Had it on tap at Paragon Tap and Table. Everything these guys make just tastes fantastic. I love it. Then I had another one from Magnify, which again has been impressing me lately. Double dry hopped, smell you later. Another solid beer from these guys. Juicy, really smooth, delicious. Loved it a lot. Just a great job from Magnify. Whatever they're doing, whether they're cold conditioning their beers more, whether it's a new brewer, I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing it right, and I'm happy for that because you want to see the local guys succeed. Also had a Never Forget. That was the other beer that Source put out. This is obviously in tribute to 9/11. A smooth, juicy IPA, fantastic. A portion of the proceeds of that beer, Never Forget, was actually being donated to Tunnel to Towers, which is awesome. In tribute to 9/11, so that's great. Phil and the guys down there, they're always doing a bang-up job, and I just love pretty much everything that Source puts out. It's just a really, really good stuff. Had a chance to jump over to Wet Ticket as we continue with our final segment, the Suds and Duds segment here on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. So they did a test ticket, finally, of a new beer. Tim put this out. The Raspberry Porter. So my wife and I stopped by there Saturday night, sat out in the beer garden outside. Another winner from these guys. The raspberry is so good. It was not overpowering. You got it. It had a great raspberry smell. And then the raspberry was there, but not. Sometimes the raspberry can be cloying or a little too tart. This is perfect. It is well balanced. It is a great, easy drinking beer. I could drink this all day long. Kudos, Tim. You did a great job with this one. Put this one on tap. It is fantastic. It will definitely sell. And then finally had the Juice Cannon by Heavy Seas, a decent juicy IPA, kind of reminiscent of the, a Gatorade type of drink. It's not bitter at all. It's got a very smooth feel to it. Very nice. Thanks to the folks from Heavy Seas for sending me a couple of cans of the Juice Cannon. Very much appreciated. That was a really nice, tasty beer. It's amazing the amount of beer that's out there now, and it's amazing all the different styles and what people are doing during this pandemic. And it's so important to support these small businesses. It's so important that if you can, get a four-pack from them directly from the brewery, do it, because you're supporting a business that is not only putting food on their table, but it's putting food on the tables of their employees. And it's important because small business is the lifeblood of America. My thanks to everyone involved in the show, and of course, last but not least, the great Buddy Watson. Back Monday on the Joe Piscopo Show at 6 a.m. This has been the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. Cheers, everybody.